This is Yarraville FM 99.1, the Oz Indie Show, and right here on the blower, I have Susan Maranti joining us. How are you going, Susan?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks, Greg. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. A few technical hitches here, but we...
It's a bit scary, wasn't it, for your listeners? Yes.
We've got you on air.
Yeah, it's all okay now. Thank God.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. Where are you at the moment?
I'm in Sydney.
Okay.
Beautiful wintry Sydney. So the first day of winter tomorrow, but you'd think it was a couple of weeks ago that it began.
Yes, that hasn't been great, has it?
No.
Now, we will be playing your brand new release, Ruby Ruby, but I want to go back in time because back to your beginnings. You have done so much and won so many awards and things over the last number of years. But before that, how did you start with your singing and songwriting?
Well, it's kind of a strange but true story. I went through a terrible personal time, as so many of us do. It seems to be, you know, something that life hands you, and it was my turn.
Yeah.
And I was a single mum. I had a relationship breaking down, and I went through in a period of just phenomenal stress. And I woke up one morning. I was a visual artist and a sculptor, and I had sort of come to that a little bit later as well. And I woke up one morning after this very dark time and just suddenly, out of control, started writing lyrics and songs. I didn't even know they were in me. Yeah. I didn't know that I could do that. I didn't know that I wanted to do that. I didn't know that I needed to do that. And I could not stop it. They would literally fall fully formed from my brain. And I never had a medical opinion and haven't needed to, if you know what I mean, but I do think it was a form of musicophilia that people get after head injuries and terrible events in their lives that are usually physical.
Yeah.
Something happens in their brains and they suddenly develop musical ability. And I think I suddenly started writing songs. And
I wish that had happened to me.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a fairy story, Greg. It turned out okay. I wouldn't wish what I went through, as they say, on my worst enemy. But I'm glad that the universe gave me a gift out of it. And maybe the universe gives us a gift always when we go through dark things and we just can't see it. And for me, I was lucky. It was very obvious.
Yeah.
So haven't looked back since.
Now, you've mentioned something that I didn't know. You would used to the visual arts and doing sculptures. What sort of form did that take? Was those sculptures came out of your own personal backstory or just a creative process?
Yeah, it's hard to explain with the sculpture and the visual art because I had always had the ability to draw.
Yeah.
I always loved singing as well, but at home, never in public and never with any thought that I could write a song or perform for people or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when I look back to when I was a child, I could draw and I could sing at the same time. And with the sculpture, like just zooming forward again, once I'd you know, taught myself some skills and gone and got the right kind of tuition, I was able to translate my drawings into sculptural 3D versions, if you like. And I do tend to like realistic sculpture. I love abstract too. If I can combine the abstract with the realistic, then I'm kind of at my happiest. But it's interesting because I think maybe music and sculpture do go together in some weird way.
Mm.
Of all people, Michelangelo, back in the 16th century, I've since discovered, like, was as famous for his poetry and his songs in his day as he was for his sculpture.
Yeah.
So maybe the two things go together and we just don't know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. Who knows?
Yeah. I noticed in your bio there's a lot of credit for your songwriting. So the lyrics and that aspect of getting words down on paper has been a huge part of your musical journey.
Absolutely. It was, that was the music that fell out of my head. It was the music in the words.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a download from the universe or something, you know, like the words fell out, and rhyme and rhythm, but the rhythm was as important as the rhyme and the imagery, and the music, the melodies were contained already within those lyrics.
Yeah.
I believe. So words have been kind of my entree to music. You know, I'm not a trained musician.
Yeah.
But I had training in words, but for very mundane purposes, you know, working in the banking world or whatever. And I think that's it, that you express at your level of skill, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, words were the open door for me through which I walked through to great music, I guess.
Yeah. Your new album, Fire Dub, you're putting out, and we'll be playing Ruby Ruby from that, is all about that very personal experience. All 11 tracks, is it?
Yeah, 11 tracks, that's right. 11's a mystical number, and I do like to throw those mystical numbers in, but yes, that's right.
Yeah, so they're all very personal, but it's all a big sort of word dump from your mind or your psyche from that traumatic event. So the whole album is all about you processing what happened to you. So it's not just a collection of songs over the years, is it? This is all about the one thing.
That's why it works. When you listen to the tracks, they start at sunset with Ruby Ruby and the end of a relationship, like a spectacular explosion. And then all of a sudden there's the twilight and the darkness, and you move it towards the midnight of the soul. And then coming out the other side of that, when it's at its coldest and darkest, until you get to the dawn with my new version of Unconquered Sun. But there are moments through that, you know, finding or looking for new love with Bright Star, and also just jumping forward a little bit through the interludes as well, those beautiful interludes which my wonderful producer Sven Tiedemann created in response to the lyrics. You know, they're very powerful as well. But they lead you to Child of Night, which is kind of my ode to being a single mother and having to deal with that, having a child under your wing through this dark time and trying to protect him and keep him safe and not feeling like you're succeeding very well, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I think any single parent would identify with that.
Yeah. How did it, what sort of difference in the way you felt from before all these lyrics came to your mind and then afterwards, after you'd done the 11 tracks, got them out of your head, how did you feel inside yourself? Were you a lot more relieved, or how was it?
That's a really interesting question, Greg, and I've never been asked that and I've never thought about it. And I have an instant answer. Like, obviously, I felt a billion times better. I felt like also I was on a new path.
Yeah.
That this dark mystical night had led me through to the creative perfect sunrise that I needed. But I always had this, even though, you know, I experienced that until the baby is born. It's a little bit like finding out you're pregnant, you know, with the 11 tracks. You've got to get those tracks out to the world as well, or I believe that. Some people would not necessarily agree with me. But for me, I wanted that music to go out to the world and connect to people and hopefully give them some, I don't know whether it's release or sense of beauty or wonder in sort of walking on someone else's, listening with someone else's musical journey. You know, that was important to me. So I'm almost, it's not until now that I'm getting that sense of completion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you had a lot of big names collaborating with you.
Yes.
On this. And how did you go about finding these people?
Do you know, it's... They kind of found me, but I'm sure they weren't meaning to. I'm sure they weren't looking for me, which is really, really funny. It's just how the path unfolded. It's one of the ways I knew that I was always on the right, going the right way.
Yeah.
If you just very briefly, Ruby Ruby was always the first of this collection, and I met someone at a songwriting conference who directed me to, who's a lawyer actually, who directed me to Barbara Griffin, who produced this track for me. I came to her with the lyrics and the melody fully formed, and I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
I'd been obsessed with Bob Dylan's Hurricane as a listener only for years, and I knew I wanted a violin, the track, and she found Claire O'Meara. And the three of us made magic together. It was just fabulous. And it, for anybody who knows Claire out there, and I'm sure nearly everybody does, she's just the most amazing violinist and Barb's most beautiful producer. So I then took that song to another songwriting conference, and that's where I met Sven Tiedemann and Richie Neville. And Richie is from the UK boy band Five from back in the 90s, but they're still performing and wowing audiences over in Britain, knocking it out of the ballpark with terrific gigs, you know, fantastic. And that's when, you know, I really got into the meat and potatoes of the rest of the album, if you like the three of us just bonded, became a great friendship, you know, friends for life, there's no question about it. And we're all on the same creative page, which is just a beautiful experience to have. And for me, it was like an anti-venom to the funnel web experience I was going through in the background, you know, like it was just gorgeous to go to the studio and hang out with them. You know, they were the funnest boys in the world, and, you know, with the most beautiful hearts, and they were very lovely and very protective of me as well, and my son, and everything we were going through. And we created this beautiful music together, and watching them be creative was such a joy. Like, to see your friends, like they were new friends at that time, but to see your friends also creating and drawing just genius from what they were doing, it's just the best feeling in the world. Like, it was fantastic. You know, we were like a little band for a few months there while we were doing this. It was great.
So the vision you had for the tracks at the start, by the time you'd gone through this collaboration process and they were produced, were the tracks vastly different than you first envisaged, or had you kept them pretty much online?
No, I've got to be honest, I kept them pretty much online. I had a vision at the beginning from Ruby Ruby. I knew that I wanted this mystical sound. I knew I wanted violins. It was absolutely definite for me. I don't even know why. I can't really give you an answer to that. I think, you know, I can't answer for Sven and Richie, but I will anyway. I know, particularly with tracks like Unconquered Sun, you know, they both, we all felt like we were drawing a complete song out of the air. And it was the natural successor, or, you know, brother track to the sister track of Ruby Ruby. And they were instrumental in that themselves. You know, there's no question about it. And, you know, Fire and Cloud as well, that kind of mystical Bollywood kind of vein that runs through it, which you can read as a bit of fun, or you can feel it in a very serious way. That came out of Richie's trips to India and his tales of India, and they kind of meshed. I've always wanted to go to India, so that kind of meshed with my interest in reincarnation and the mystical, and, you know, the three of us were very interested in that topic at that time as well. So, yeah, it's it was very much a vision that they joined me in and brought their creative artistry and their genius as musicians and creators into that process. So I was very lucky, very lucky indeed. The other thing I always remember that really stands out for me too is the use of the harpsichord with Bright Star, because Bright Star is inspired by one of Keats's poems called mm-hmm. Bright Star, but it's in very old-fashioned language that's quite difficult for any of us to kind of understand. So I wanted to turn it into ordinary language, which I did. But it was Sven who really kind of worked that track and brought in the harpsichord, and I didn't really want a harpsichord in it at all to begin with, but now I really hear that it's exactly the right choice. Mm. People love that harpsichord and people really relate to it. It's a bit of oldie worldie magical sort of musical mystery.
Yeah, it's a great instrument.
Yeah, it is, absolutely, and he was spot on in persuading to keep it in there, and I'm very, very glad. So if you're out there listening, Sven, you were right. Which you always knew. You always knew. And, thank you. Thank you for the harpsichord.
Now, one question I do like to drop on my guests is...
Uh-oh.
You know where you are now, but where would you like to be in 5 years? You know, Susan Randy, what would you like to be doing? Where would you like to be in 5 years?
I would like my music to be known all the way around the world. I mean, I don't care how naff that sounds. It's the truth, you know. Like, I just want my music to connect with people and to bring a bit of beauty and light into people's lives. You know, a little bit of escape, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of mystical, magical, white light witchery, you know. Like something just a little bit, beautiful for people to listen to and be swept away.
Yeah.
By, you know, that's what I would want 5 years from now. That would be, and world peace, I guess, would be good. I guess. Is anybody for world peace usually?
Okay, so your new album Fire Dove, it's available now. Where can people find it?
Well, just hop along to Spotify if you search for me and Susan Muranti, and for Fire Dove and Ruby Ruby, I'm there. And also on Facebook and Instagram. I'd love you to come over and say hello to me on Facebook. You know, leave me a message. Friend me, leave me a message. And I'd love to talk to anybody about my music if they're interested.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Susan. It's been a great honour to have you on the show.
And, thank you, Greg.
Yeah, looking forward to looking forward to what you come up with next, because your songwriting, your words are the foundation of what you're putting out now.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that. Thank you for having me on the show today and giving me the opportunity to talk to you and tell your listeners a little bit about the music.
No worries.
And right. And a blessing on the temperature down in Victoria. May it be as hot as it possibly can get at this time of the year.
It'll get there eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. And we're going to play Ruby Ruby, and then I'm going to go back in time a little bit and also play Stop Time with a Kiss. Bit of a back number there.
Ruby, ruby, crimson sheets, red night falls about your feet. That is a fire. Ruby skies, the dark comes down on velvet lips and satin gowns. my heart to kingdom come. Blow my mind with fire line. Sunset love in dead of night.
The key.